American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the glue, Lou.
Oh, whoa, I like it.
Yeah, because this episode is about glue and what that means and how that can help your mixes and how they don't help your mixes.
The hug of music.
Yes. So this is interesting. This came up because every once in a while I teach a few lessons for some people that ask me insistently and are willing to pay my price. I have a buddy that's doing lessons with me right now, and he does a lot of hip hop, ton of hip hop, and he's really good at mixing, no issues with mixing. Most of my comments are very minimal, and it's more based on the response of the client. So the client brings back revision notes, and then I more reflect and talk about that. But the mixes by themselves, how they stand alone, and how he adapts per song.
Excuse me.
For every song, like how he adapts the level of the vocals, the general tonal balance of the vocals, how he adapts the 808s to each and every song for that song is incredible. I think that he does a great job as a mixer. There's one thing that we did on our third lesson. He brought in not a rock song. We'll just call it a rock song, okay? Was a rock song with real drums and real instrumentation. And it was bad. Very bad. I'm going to keep this person anonymous. But usually this person is an incredible mixer. And then it was kind of weird to me that this one was bad. And we were trying to talk about it and we're trying to figure out why. And I think it just came down to glue. And I finally figured out the words and ways to kind of articulate what glue is and how to use glue. In the world of hip-hop, Lou, I'm sure that you can say many things about this. In the world of hip-hop and R&B or sample-based music, glue is not important almost at all. The reason why in hip-hop mixers typically don't use mix-bus compression is because the way that hip-hop sounds and it works, it sounds better without.
Yeah.
Hip hop is meant to be this like transient, sparse thing, and a lot of other like maybe some potential electronic genres as well. Like samples are meant to sound like samples, right? It's not the drum, the kick drum, and the snare are not from the same kit, nor is it important or relevant that it should sound like it's coming from the same kit. But when it comes to rock, the drummer and the drums need to sound like it's coming from the same kit, even if you use samples or supplement with samples and triggers. Mm-hmm. This is glue, okay? It's a very generic term, but glue is the essence of, in general, it's another word for glue is cohesion. The singer, the vocals, the guitars, the drums, the keys need to have glue, can be glued with a mix bus compressor like the SSLG bus compressor. But what glue really means is cohesion of sound. A cohesion that the vocals, the drums, and the guitars, and the keys, and the synths, and the whatever, the bass, and the drums, whatever is in that group, all sound like it's coming from the same place, from the same vibe. It is not at all important, and is not, it's not even a thought that people have when mixing hip-hop. And it's part of the reasons why we say those that mix rap and hip-hop should learn to mix rock records or singer-songwriter records, because those are significantly harder and can translate to mixing other genres. Like people that mix rock are more, this is, I'm going to generalize here, so forgive me. People that mix pop and rock can do a decent job mixing hip hop. Those that are specialized in just hip hop almost rarely do a good job mixing pop and rock. It's just a totally different vibe. And we want to talk about that. Lou, can you help me explain this sensation of glue?
I'm actually, funny enough, I'm currently in the revision stages of a country song for an artist who just played the CMA Fest, funny enough.
Nice.
Yeah. It's actually...
Country Music Awards for those that are foreigners.
Yeah.
Or not sorry, for those huge, that are outside of America.
Huge in like Nashville and Texas and all that kind of stuff.
Uniquely American.
Very. And, you know, it's funny because I feel like I hear more about CMA Fest happening, like its events, more than any other event. I don't know if it's because of frequency or just how much they put into marketing. But either way, funny enough, like me and this artist, we actually were kind of bonding when we first started talking to each other, because he actually came from the R&B side of the world. And, you know, he even mentioned about how he doesn't use any of his R&B mixers or producers or anything like that in his country side of his work. Reason being is that it's a very different element. For instance, when you're dealing with live drums, you're not dealing with a sample that you could just mute and then mix the rest of it and then unmute the kick and then be happy with it. When we're talking about glue, it can exist on the drum bus. The relationship between the drum and the bass can have their own glue compressor, depending how you route things and how you want to do things. But you typically are dealing with some kind of noise. Sometimes they're recording a noisy slide guitar and things of that nature, and knowing how to actually like use compression to not enhance the noise necessarily, but bring that cohesion together by saying it feels like the band is all in the same room. Almost like the effect of hearing it with your own ears, and your ears are naturally compressing down and fatiguing, you start to hear things a little bit differently. And it kind of has that sensation where everything just starts to kind of become one. The band really starts to come together versus sounding like isolated elements. Because when you hear a rock band at a concert venue, you hear the room involved. You hear the actual curtains dampening the cymbals and blah, blah, blah. And every venue has its own sound. But all of this sound in this contained zone of pressure sounds like a little bit of compression's going on, but it makes it all feel cohesive and like there's a live band in front of you. So when you're putting the drum bus compressor, the glue, whatever style you want to choose, whether that be FET or VCA, variable mu, anything, one of the elements that we kind of look for in glue is typically kind of like a tightening that kind of merges the sounds together as a wall of sound. Something that you don't really see in hip-hop or R&B, because we typically want every element to be its own presence in a cohesive mix still, sure. But we want them to have like the snare hits really hard and compared to these like really over-compressed toms. But when you listen to like live drums, usually there's a certain amount of like transient information that's all the same. Like usually don't hear like the snare is overly compressed unless it's a really, really processed and mixed rock band kind of thing, like a Paramore of that sort, somewhere where it's like pop rock. But when you're talking about like country, like the more natural and open something can be, the better. So instead of hyper compressing the elements, you would see compression on the bus more to kind of bring things back into each other. There could be differences in dynamics and that one section is quieter than the other. The snare was hit quieter to kind of convey a different message in the song. But glue is making all the elements kind of come back in with each other versus standing out as individual elements. Because it's not uncommon. Like in this country song, I think there's like 7 to 8 different guitar tracks that are all doing something different at the same time. So finding a way to get 7 to 8 different guitars to sound good together, sometimes a little bit of glue compression will kind of bring them together and make them sound like a wall of guitars versus 7 to 8 independent guitars that might just be a little more distracting.
Yeah. There's the wall of sound kind of vibes. I think that you summarized that fairly well. And to kind of put it, it's hard without doing audio examples. I wish I could do an audio examples. Yeah. But it's really obvious. If I were to show you before and after of without mixed bus compression or without glue, with glue, the examples are obvious. Glue is not beneficial in hip hop necessarily, not too much. And this, I want to talk about the purpose and the pragmatic approach to compression, in hip hop, when there's no necessarily need for glue, and it's all sample based. The snare is the same volume every single time. Unless you change and randomize the velocity of each snare hit, which I don't know why you would do, there's no practical use for compression on a snare in hip hop. Each snare hit is the same exact volume. And even if you do change the velocity of the snare sample in itself, when a real drummer hits a snare softly and hits a snare loud, even if you equal the volume, the tone is completely different. The way that it rings is completely different. But if you just turn down one of the snare hits to be a little bit quieter, the tone is not different. It's literally just the volume. So these are all things to consider as well. So with 808s and stuff, there is no need to potentially compress it, because if you're just using a sample, again, each 808 hit is the exact same volume. So from a practical point of view, there's no need for compression on samples. For vocals, obviously you do need compression. And for rap vocals specifically, more compression is actually going to be potentially better, because the diction is super important. And we want to hear every single diction, every single consonant and vowel, any sort of vocal transient information is super important. It needs to be articulate. I need to know what you're saying. I need to know who you're shitting on. Why Drake is a pedophile. You know, I need to know. No, I'm teasing. That was a joke. I need to hear that each and every single word being pronounced. So compression is a big deal, but it's not for the purpose of glue. In a rock song, the snare, each snare hit is a different volume, it's a different velocity, it's a different tone. So we use compression to equalize the volume. And that includes tone as well. We try our very best to have some sort of consistency, but also automate or change things where if there's a verse where they're switching to stick clicks, where they're hitting the side stick, right? Instead of a big rim shot, side clicks, like that compressor needs to be working enough where there's not a huge dramatic change of volume, but there still is a change in tone, okay? Let me finish up here. Sorry, Lou. So the purpose and the function of a compressor for a live instrumentation is inherently different. When you put it on a drum bus, you're trying to make it all sound like when the kick hits, it drops the volume of the snare and the cymbals, and it makes it sound more cohesive. It's like smashing a sandwich in order to make it easier to eat. Like a smash burger, all the different pieces, they're less separated, they're more cohesive into one singular unit. Mixed bus compression in a country song or in a rock song or in some pop songs with live instrumentation serves the function of, again, smashing that burger, condensing it, making it feel like it's coming from the same point of reference, which is not at all important to hip hop music. And also, by the way, it doesn't make hip hop less. It's just a different sound, genre, style, cultures. It's a different style completely.
Yeah.
And there is cohesion in hip hop, but it's not the type that we're talking about right now in this moment.
Yeah, I think one of the points of compression for the rock side of things is your approach to the output. For instance, a lot of times, like you mentioned earlier, like compression for vocals so that you can hear the PDF files. The funny thing is this. In rock, a lot of times compression correlates more to attitude than it is necessarily tone. For instance, like an SSLG bus can make things sound smushy, right? And because of that, it kind of has like a softer attitude, which is why you saw a lot of people who were working on SSLs use it, because it was nice for like round kicks. And they might use that, but they weren't using it across the board most times, because it would start causing a pumping in the vocals. And that is not necessarily fun for hip hop. But in rock, if you had like really driving sounds, but the elements just didn't really tie together and you wanted it to sound huge and get that wall of sound kind of thing that we mentioned earlier, then you might drive the compression a bit harder because it would create like this kind of explosive sound. And you might blend that into your sound, whether that be parallel or that might be like directly on the bus and just left on. But you would see it be a little more aggressive sometimes if you wanted like a rock song to sound like it's exploding, like from the quiet parts to the loud parts, like it's almost a brick wall, but not really, because you can hear the difference in the dynamics and how they're played. That's not something with samples. So, you know, over compressing your master bus on the hip hop side of things might result in like, I guess, the balance of things falling out of place. But sometimes over compressing in the master bus on a rock side of things actually can sometimes bring things into place. It's kind of like a weird opposite kind of approach, where with a lot of really successful hip hop and R&B mixers, they usually don't put compression after and then try to force it into place because it's already been balanced without the master bus compression. So adding a ton of master bus compression is throwing the elements off. But in a rock mix, you'll actually see some people see about like, you know what, I blended into place with the compression in place because I knew I wanted to have it there. But let's drive it a little more and see if it gives the song any more bite, any more attitude. And it's the mindset isn't more compression, it's attitude.
Yeah. And let me talk about, we're generalizing. And so let me talk about the parts of hip hop and rock that we're not talking about. Because I think more than saying that this is how inherently rock works versus how inherently rap works, there's a lot of instances where they work the same. For example, like in something, I don't want to say Silk Sonic because that's not necessarily rap, but like in some Anderson .Paak stuff, right? Where it's like, it's a real drum kit, it's a real horn section, it's a real guitars. Glue is going to matter in that, right? It's for the cohesion versus like Offset with like 808s, with like an 808 snare and kick drum and stuff. I think it's more also has to do potentially with the sparseness of arrangement and the space between frequencies. Because really, it's just low end and top end with some upper mid-range for vocals. It's literally, it's like hard to make vocals cloudy in a hip hop mix because you there's so little other information in the mid-range. But if you have a full band, right, that even if you're rapping and it's a hip hop song with a full band with real instrumentation, yeah, glue does matter. So that there's examples of that. So I think this has less to do with the genres necessarily, but more with the arrangement, the production style, the intention, the feel, and the recording as well. So I that's just, I don't know. This is difficult to talk about. I hope that what we're saying makes sense. I wish I had a very apparent, very obvious, I don't think I can get permission. I can try. And if I do get permission, I'll put it at the end of this episode so you can hear it. But I don't think I can get permission to share the before and after of what we're talking about on this episode with glue. But I want you to be thinking about that. Like, try, this might be that, like, I've had a lot of people ask for advice, like, I'm trying to get that solid 3D polished sound that really good mixers get, and it sounds really professional. I don't really know how to describe it, but it sounds really polished, and 3D is like kind of the words that they keep you describing. I think glue may be that for a lot of mixers. Is this, it's this cohesion, it's the, because obviously, let's say there's like layers, right? Like a sandwich, like a BLT, you got vocals on top, background, like maybe the snare and the kick drum, like those are also really important. Like if the guitar is really important, then maybe under that, you know, and then you got background vocals and other things. So like you kind of stack them in order of importance and you like layer them based with volume. So that's all it is, with volume. Vocals sit on top because it's the most important thing, right? What a mix bus compressor does, the purpose of that is to smush all those layers and make that, it's like a smash burger. You're really condensing all of that to make it easier to consume and make it sound cohesive. That's, I think that's like the only way that I can describe it without showing you audio examples. And whereas hip hop, there's so few elements going on, potentially, generically speaking here, that the more you squish it, there's like, the aesthetic is the space. It's the fact that there's nothing competing with the vocals and nothing competing with the hi-hats and the snare drum and the 808s. Like, that's the sound. But in hip-hop, it's like everything's, outside of hip-hop and like real instrumentation, everything's competing with everything, especially if you have something like Earth, Wind & Fire with 20 people in the band. You got a horn section and a string section and you got synth and you got bass and you got guitars and you got keys and you got a Wurlitzer and blah, 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 whatever, right? So this balance, the glue becomes, this cohesion becomes super important. But again, with hip hop, it's like the lack of cohesion is a very pleasing sound. Mm-hmm. I think that's why this hip hop mixer had a hard time adding glue and cohesion to this rock mix. And when I showed him the example, I just basically compressed the shit out of the drums. I did some, there was some little bit of sound selection that I did with the producer in the room as well. And that was a benefit to have when the producer is in the room making the creative decisions. I can help make creative decisions. I wouldn't do that if the producer wasn't in the room with me or if I didn't have a solid relationship with the producer. But with some compression, another way to add glue for live instrumentation, if you're coming from a hip-hop world, is reverbs. We're not talking long Post Malone reverbs. We're talking about the use of short room reverbs. How do you make everything sound like it's coming from the same source? You put everything in a very short room reverb. We're talking less than 1 second. I mean, 0.6 seconds to 1 second is the sweet spot for me a lot of the times. And you don't have to go crazy on the pre-delay. Honestly, it's just when you put the drum in a room aesthetic, like with some room, short room reverb. The reason why it's short is because it's not this long drawn out. It's not meant to be reverb. It's more meant to trick our brains into feeling like this is on a stage or this is in a room, and it's very pleasing. That's another way to create cohesion without extended long reverbs that bleed into each other, where like Post Malone reverbs are aesthetic and is a creative decision.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat-your-price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat-your-price.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lou, any thoughts on reverbs for glue?
Well, yeah, especially in the rock side of things. I feel like reverb for glue in a drum bus and like other instruments, it just kind of learning to put things into a space and to choosing their depths is kind of a big thing. And then once you go back to the jump, to the glue, like you're changing kind of those reverb tails and everything by kind of bringing up the subtleties and bringing them to the forefront again. So when using reverbs to kind of create a sense of glue, I think it's really important to utilize short verbs and pre-delays in a way that actually helps. So for instance, like with the snare, you usually want that in the front of the mix. So just drowning it in a hall isn't really necessarily the biggest difference maker. It's going to give it kind of a vibe, but it's going to also make it to where it's like, well, I wanted this song to sound very forward, so adding a bit of pre-delay to that is going to actually help. Putting a little bit of a gate behind it to kind of, you know, just make sure that you actually have, I guess you could say, you know, the right timing behind it. You want it to sound like a big reverb, but you don't want it to be lingering across the entire thing, because then it just makes it sound like you just stayed inside of Cavernous Hall. You know what I mean? So with reverbs, typically speaking, what I'll try to do is if I'm doing like a snare, I'll try to put it into the room first and see what the whole set sounds like with nothing but reverb on the snare. Because the snare typically gets a lot of hi-hat in it and everything. Usually hear some kind of cymbal bleed in snares, but you don't typically hear, I guess you could say, like, you know, a lot of that in like the tom mics. The tom mics, if you let them bleed, you hear a lot of resonance in the drum, so they typically get cut out. Snares a lot of times will get gated unless you have a very like dynamic drummer that does like a lot of ghost notes or accenting. So gates don't always work well on snares. Now, one trick you can do is do it on the overheads. If you do it on the overheads, you're kind of playing more with the room itself. And if you have a room mic, you can over compress that and then blend it back in to actually add some level of cohesiveness, kind of a very live sound. Which is why, like, a very common trick, if you don't have a big room, is to take a 57 or just any mic that you have and point it directly at the wall. Put it like an inch or two away from the wall, pointing directly at an opposite wall, and just start compressing the living shit out of that. And it makes the room sound bigger. But the cool thing is, like, once you actually get the band to sound like they're in the same room, you start getting, like, let's say, if you're lucky enough to do your own impulse responses, you can impulse response the room and add that reverb into your guitar tracks, into your bass tracks that were DI'd, and try to add some level of, I guess, space to them that's familiar to the rest of the stuff that was recorded in that room. But outside of that, yeah, like, it, reverb can be used as a glue, but it's one of those things that you have to be careful of, because if you are going the drum, the bus glue route, those balances are going to go off, which is why a lot of times when people do use like glue style compression on their master bus, they'll kind of do it from the start of the mix. They don't do it later. You know, this is something
that, I do it later, but that's, you know, I don't know if that's, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
I do limiting right later. Like, I don't put limiters right away. Usually when I'm A-B-ing the rough has a limiter on it, and I don't. I'm trying to beat the rough without a limiter, you know?
Just the way that my brain works, I like to add the glue afterwards.
Yeah, I like doing it before, because I know that I listen a lot to drums and how the compression changes the drums. So I like to know how I'm going into the compressor with the drum, so that I can make those finite changes early on versus having to rework my balance later. But that's just me. Everybody has a different approach, you know? Like on this country song, I think the first thing I did was apply the saturation that I typically like, which is a combination of Oxford Inflator and Oxford Limiters Enhance. I really like certain things about both. And so, like, I'll blend what I'm hearing to where I like it, and then I'll continue the mix from there, just because I don't want to have to reshape my tones or anything, because at that point I'm walking backwards. I'd rather walk into it knowing what's going on. But almost, yeah, honestly, in most other genres, I don't put a compressor first. Rarely ever put a limiter while I work. I usually will do my revisions with a limiter on, but I usually don't mix with the limiter on.
The point of my comment was to share that there's no right way to do it.
Yeah.
We all do it differently. The last thing that I want to talk about with reverb real briefly is that if you notice, room reverb is not that important in hip hop, nor is it used. Vocals are very dry. You don't put reverb on snare hits, rim hits. You don't put reverbs on kick drums, typically. They reverbs and delays serve a completely different purpose. They're more aesthetic, like any sort of Travis Scott type, where delays and reverbs go crazy on the ad-libs or whatever. It serves a very different purpose than room reverb on the drum kit and the snare drum of a rock song. So, which, again, is very different from, like, long tail hall verbs on a snare for like an 80s like synth pop sound. You know, they all just serve different purposes. So something to consider. All right, my video cut out, so hopefully I'll be able to edit everything in post. But anything else you want to add, Lou, about this concept of glue and the importance of glue in mixes? What's going on?
So, honestly, don't overthink it. Everybody will start looking into, if you haven't already, I promise you, you're probably going to end up Googling glue bus compressors and stuff like that and everybody else's approaches to it. There's no one right way to do it. It's honestly, some people like to have the same approach to every mix at the starting point. Chris Lord-Alge is very famous for this. You know, he has his Red 3 compressor. I forget which model it is. But it's the red compressor from Focusrite. And he claims to never change the settings on it. And that's cool. That works for him. DK puts his bus compression later. I put it early on. You know, everybody has a different approach, and yet we're all getting amazing results and we're all consistently working. So when you do the deep dive, I would say try as many different things as you can, because glue sounds pleasant to different people in different ways. I like aggressive drums. I like them to sound like they're fucking exploding out of the speakers. One of my favorite speaker tests is Till Now by Banks, where for the majority of the song, like 80% of the song, there's no drums except for the ending. And everybody that I'm testing speakers for, they end up getting scared because the snare and the drums just all sound like they're exploding. Like, it sounds like the speaker broke. But there's like a level of compression on that I really like. And there's like a level of snarling and distortion that I'm really listening for. And other people are looking at me like I'm weird, but it's the one song that I think actually helps me listen to speakers. If there's a form of compression that you like, but nobody else is doing it or something, don't get self-conscious and overthink it. Just keep rocking with it. Just play with it until you find out what it is that you like about it, and then try to see if you can get that out of other resources. But glue compression is not defined by a specific one technique. There's many.
It's not
many
about the compressor.
Ways. Yeah,
it's not about the compressor. It's about what you get out of it.
Like parallel compression can be used for cohesion. You know,
like tape saturation is glue.
Yeah,
I literally, one of my outboard pieces of gear is adding distortion. It simulates pushing an SSL console really hard. So it's like it's simulating summing and the saturation that comes from pushing a console too hard. Yeah. That feels like glue. That is glue. Obviously, VCA compressors, but not just the compressors, but the distortion that the compressor gives is a form of glue. So it's not glue in itself, or a glue compressor does not add any sort of glue in itself. It's what glue is, a sensation that oftentimes compressors or saturators or exciters can add. So I just want to be clear about that. Okay, I think that's it for this episode. Please join the exclusive podcast list, mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive, for, I think you unlock like 200 episodes plus, and you get two new episodes like this. Like, they're very technical episodes with me and James. You get to unlock those. mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Thank you so much for all of our new subscribers and people that continue to subscribe, and check out the new podcast episodes, the exclusive archives as well, that comes out once a week. Thank you so much for listening. On that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.